21 minutes past 4 o'clock downtown here in a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, live at Seasons, Main Street in Bangor, in our Quality Jewelers broadcast studio. And time to talk some Celtics this afternoon. To do so, we get on board the Tiller and Rye telephone line and connect with Scott Souza, who covers the Celtics for the Metro West Daily News. Scott, good afternoon. Welcome back to downtown.
Thanks. Nice to be back on with you guys.
Man, oh man. So it sounds like the Celtics are basically going to get every valuable free agent, reunite the new big three, and maybe find a way to dig up Will Chamberlain.
Yeah, I think Jordan and Russell will probably be on the team as well next year. It'll be a fun time. No, certainly a crazy day, and this is not. You don't usually hear things to this extent, but it's not super unusual, actually, for just a lot of stuff to start flying around the day before the NBA draft. It's a time when, teams are willing to make deals. A lot of teams do the talking. A lot of the time, stuff that comes out about a particular team is floated by other agents, other teams. It's not necessarily somebody in the Celtics camp that's, throwing out a lot of this stuff. Sometimes it's other teams with their own agendas, and of course agents with their own agendas trying to drive up the value of their players. But it certainly makes for interesting times, and sometimes big things do happen. I mean, in 2007, obviously, the Celtics made the big trade for Ray Allen, which really nobody saw coming. And then, of course, a couple of years ago, on draft night, was when they moved on from Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. So Danny Ainge does have a history of making big draft night trades.
Well, let's start with the general and then work our way toward the specific here. And you wrote about it in the Metro West Daily. Definitely the Celtics are interested in moving up and interested in making a splash here in the next 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah, Danny Ainge, he generally doesn't say much when he holds press briefings. It's a lot of, we'd like to move up, but we're willing to stay where we are. We could move down. We'd like to add a veteran, but we like our young guys. It's kind of circular conversations. But yesterday he was pretty definitive in the fact that they don't necessarily want to come out of this draft, or they don't want to come out of this draft with kind of four players in the positions that they're in, 16, 28, 33, 45. They would rather start to use some of their assets, and we saw this happen. The big turning point in this was when they went from the era of asset accumulation, which I like to call, to the era where they start to actually use some of these assets, when they went out and got Isaiah Thomas at the trade deadline last year. Of course, they made the playoff push. They got into the playoffs. And I think we're going to see a continuation of that right now. They would like to use some of these picks that they've just been compiling over the last 2 years and use it to get, maybe package two of these picks, maybe a future pick together, and go up and get the one guy they really want in the first round. The question is how high they can get. Probably not able to get top three, so you're not looking at Okafor, you're not looking at Towns, you're not looking at Russell, even though I think Russell could wind up being rookie of the year next year. I would still say probably not in that next group of players, 4 through 8. I think you start to look around. Number 9 is the area where they might be able to package a couple of picks, maybe a player together, and get into that range where you could start targeting one of the players who you might want in that first round.
Now, yesterday or within the last couple of days, apparently they made an offer to the 76ers that was not unexpectedly rejected to get the overall number 3, Nerlens Noel. That offer apparently included Marcus Smart and the 2 first-round picks. Is that kind of the package that they're floating out there?
I think that would only be the package to go up and get. They were asking for a lot from Philadelphia in that situation. They were asking for Nerlens Noel, and Philadelphia kind of went with, stood by during his year away from the game, and he really kind of came on at the end of last year. It was almost a double-double guy by the end of last year, coming back from that torn ACL. And he wound up, he's a local guy from around Boston, too. So, he's an intriguing 7-foot shot blocker who's shown a minimal amount of offensive skills, but obviously a talented player, plus the number 3 overall pick, which would probably be, if you traded Marcus Smart, it would probably be D'Angelo Russell. So, I mean, if you're talking about bringing back Noel and Russell, you're going to put together that type of package. I don't think you're going to be putting together that type of package to get back, say, a Willie Cauley-Stein or a Miles Turner, two players I think they could be targeting there in that 9, 10, 11, 12 range.
Now, there are also some guys that you mentioned in your article, Frank Kaminsky of Wisconsin, Bobby Portis from Arkansas, who might be the kind of guys they could get for just moving up a few spots in the draft.
Yeah, and I mentioned them yesterday. I kind of just wrote a thing that I sent in, breaking that down a little bit further today. I think Kaminsky would be a big would be a big success in Brad Stevens' offensive system. I think he's basically offensively, he's a better version than Kelly Olynyk, and he does some different things. And he's not quite the garbage player in terms of offensive rebounds around the boards, but he's a more polished offensive player than Sullinger. I think he'd be very successful with Brad Stevens. For whatever reason, we haven't heard a lot of links to him in Boston. Maybe that's just playing, you know, maybe that's hiding their cards well, but we haven't heard a lot of Frank Kaminsky in Boston, not as much as I would thought. But he's not an above-the-rim player, and that's probably the same for Bobby Portis, not necessarily an above-the-rim player. I think Portis would be, I mean, if you get Bobby Portis, he's kind of your Brandon Bass replacement, a guy with good energy, good work ethic, a guy who's going to rebound and shoot the jump shot pretty well. But with him, I think you're looking at him as a guy who might be a nice consolation prize if he falls to number 16 and you're not able to move up. You know, in terms of moving up into that range, probably the two guys you're looking at, from my perspective, for whatever that's worth, would probably be Willie Cauley-Stein or Miles Turner from Texas. Both guys who can protect the rim, play above the rim, which is something you don't have right now. Your big guys now, you know, Zeller does it a little bit, but for the most part, your big guys now are kind of below the rim players. Kelly Olynyk and Jared Sullinger, you know, those guys can block shots. Turner in particular has the advantage because he can knock down the outside jump. He can handle the ball a little bit, whereas Willie Cauley-Stein offensively is kind of more of a roll to the basket finisher player, whereas defensively he would obviously be outstanding in terms of being a big guy who can protect the rim and defend almost every position on the floor. So I if they're going to move up and move up only a couple of spots without giving up, you know, lots of future draft picks, then I would think those would be the two guys to keep an eye on tomorrow night.
Scott Souza from the Metro West Daily News with us here on Downtown. It sounds to me like if they're willing to offer Marcus Smart in a big deal, that there's nobody on this team that Danny Ainge considers untradeable.
Yeah, certainly no. And he said that yesterday, no untouchables, and that obviously makes sense. I mean, you're not going to have very many untouchables on a team that didn't finish 500 last year, even though they did go 24-12 down the stretch. He said, you know, there are players that they really like and players that are on the core of our teams. I think he said there's players we love and are at the core of our team. So you're not going to move on from these guys lightly. You're not going to trade Marcus Smart, you know, just to move up two spots to get Miles Turner, for instance, or Frank Kaminsky, if that's the guy you want. You know, you would have to get a big-time return, and I would consider D'Angelo Russell a franchise player, a big-time return in his spot. So you're not going to be moving guys like Avery Bradley or Isaiah Thomas just for the sake of moving them, just to move up one or two spots in the draft. But if something big comes available and you can bring back a star or you can bring back, you know, a top four or five pick, they're not going to be adverse to trading, again, guys that I believe that they really like Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Jared Sullinger, I still think they like. Probably more open to moving Kelly Olynyk, but guys of that nature.
Sacramento ownership, at least, saying they have no interest in trading DeMarcus Cousins, but his name keeps coming up in rumors. Do you put any stock in that?
I put stock in the fact that that's a dysfunctional situation out there. And you know, usually when rumors come from all sides, it's a sign that the organization's a little shaky, and there's been a lot of stuff that's come out from Sacramento from, you know, some pretty consistent sources, being Yahoo Sports over the last couple of years, that somebody that they're pretty in tune with somebody who likes to talk out there. You know, some bizarre stuff. I believe that they would like to build around DeMarcus Cousins, but a lot of times teams would like to build around players, and then it just doesn't work out in terms of, you know, they reach a point where they say, okay, we'll be better off, you know, moving on from this guy. The Minnesota Timberwolves wanted to build around Kevin Love, and eventually they decided, you know, that was enough. Going back years, the Minnesota Timberwolves wanted to keep building around Kevin Garnett, and then they realized they had gotten to the point where they weren't going to be able to get back what they need, and they weren't going to be able to surround their star player without trading their star player almost and getting, you know, more assets in return and moving him out. And obviously there seems to be some type of issue between George Karl and DeMarcus Cousins, and he could be a guy on the move. Less interested, there was talk in that report that Rudy Gay is available. I would not be as interested in him. The thing I find amusing about that report was that apparently the Kings, according to the sources there, are ready to move, or at least George Karl, are ready to move on from DeMarcus Cousins, or they're ready to move on from Rudy Gay, yet somehow they want Rajon Rondo, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's going to be an interesting couple of days here. Scott, we appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Now, have fun covering all that may happen, or at least will be rumored about here in the next 48 hours, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds Should be a crazy day tomorrow. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Thank you. Scott Souza, Metro West Daily News, Celtics writer, crossing.